What's up, everyone? We're finally back with an episode of Virtual GM. I think it's been like 2 months since we've made one, which is our bad. It's kind of like going to the gym when you just don't go. It's that much harder to go again. But we're back. We're back in front of the camera. Cody's not with us this week. He's taking care of some stuff. I think one of his kiddos is sick. So it's just me. And we have been really, really busy, and we have some really cool updates to share with you. In this video, I want to talk with you about a few things. Number one, what happened at the Utah Tourism Conference in Vernal just a couple months back. There's some really big updates, and if you aren't part of the Utah Tourism Industry Association or don't attend the UOT, Utah Office of Tourism board meetings, or just get their news, you're definitely going to want to stay interested and stay tuned for that. And then in addition to that, because this is Virtual GM, I'm also going to share some tips with you. And today's tip is something that we get asked all the time, which is how can you become an Airbnb superhost? I'm going to go over how you can become an Airbnb superhost, why you want to be an Airbnb superhost, and other alternatives to Airbnb. And I don't just mean like VRBO or other OTAs. Sometimes Airbnb is a great solution for you, and other times there's probably better ways to do it without paying the Airbnb OTA commission. So let's go ahead and dive into it, everyone. Okay, so there were some big things that happened at the Utah Tourism Conference in Vernal. If you didn't have a chance to attend, I'd highly recommend going next year. It was absolutely amazing. It was my first time ever going to the conference, and I was completely blown away with it. I had no idea what to expect going into it. And just like in any tourism setting, it completely underpromised and overdelivered. We had so much fun. We had a great team. If you don't follow our Instagram account at the Vibrant Team, we made a bunch of posts about it. A lot of it is us having fun. A lot of it is also good information about what happened at the conference. So be sure to follow us there. A couple big things that happened. So there was a joint meeting with the UTIA board, which is the Utah Tourism Industry Association, which is the group that goes and lobbies. And they get the money and bring the information to UOT, which is the Utah Office of Tourism. So they're two different boards, two different entities, but they work together. And in this board meeting, UTIA was able to really voice some concerns about what's happening on the ground and data being reported incorrectly about visitation to Utah's Mighty Five parks. And the UOT board, which is headed by Vicky Varela, who is a state-appointed and governor-appointed position to be the head of the Utah Office of Tourism, she was able to hear that and was able to make some big changes, and they even happened at the conference. In fact, one of those changes was that Governor Spencer Cox flew into Vernal, was boots on the ground, met with UTIA as well as Vicky, was able to hear some of the concerns from hotel owners, business owners near the Mighty Five parks, in the border towns of the Mighty Five, and was able to really hear some of the frustrations and concerns and occupancy. And there was a really great meeting, and in under an hour of that meeting happening, there was emergency funding approved for a new campaign. I can't remember the exact amount. All this is available on utah.gov, but there is a campaign running right this second today, and it's running all over the world for winter in southern Utah. As we know, southern Utah winters are absolutely magical. They're rarely touched by snow. If you're lucky like us in St. George, you'd never have to worry about it, almost never. But that campaign is running right now. And then starting again in January, the beginning of quarter one, the Mighty Five campaign is back on, which is huge. The Mighty Five campaign has been turned off for a long time. It was replaced by something called Road to Mighty Five. Road to Mighty Five was a cool idea in theory. It was about the journey between the national parks, but that would be like France running a campaign about the road from Paris to Normandy. There's just a bunch of fields of cows. There's no difference in France or Utah. It's just fields of cows. So Vicky stood up in front of the whole conference and said, like Paris, they have the Eiffel Tower. They own the Eiffel Tower. We need to own our Eiffel Tower, which is five national parks in one state. And so the Mighty Five campaign is back on. You can see the videos. They're really great. The marketing budgets are through the roof. I learned so much. I didn't even know. The governor is flying all over the world. Before that conference, he was in Dubai. He was in, I want to say, Australia. The third one might have been somewhere in the UK. I can't quite remember. He was all over, only promoting visitation to Utah. And that was really cool to know that the governor is out doing that type of work for us as well. So there's a lot of really cool things for us to look forward to in the future, especially just from state advertising. Advice that we have for you is that now that this campaign is back and running, you can start going to UOT board meetings. They publish those dates online. They will tell you where these ads are running, how much spend is going there, the type of creative and deliverable that's being put there. Sometimes it's TV, a lot of it's online. Some of it might be in an airport, right? Like I remember flying to Ethiopia and there was a giant Visit Utah sign outside of the terminal. So it's all over the place, but they will tell you exactly where. And if you're running ads for your property, your hotel, your motel, whatever type of property you run, it's a really good idea to just piggyback on those ads because they're already getting a Utah ad. And then if you can kind of come in with another call to action, you're almost getting double the ad spend. There's a little bit of awareness before your ad is there. That's what we plan on doing with our properties. If you're interested in that, reach out to us. We're happy to give you some tips, or if you want us to do that for you, that's great too. We manage those for properties all over the world. Those are the biggest updates. There are some great keynote speakers. We were able to connect with a lot of the DMOs, but overall, those are the biggest updates for the state. Again, you can find a lot of this on utah.gov or just by going to these UOT board meetings. Okay, guys, it's time to get into the tip, which is how to become an Airbnb superhost. Before we talk about how to become an Airbnb superhost, let's determine if becoming an Airbnb superhost is right for you. If you have the word hotel, motel, resort, those are probably the three. Hotel, motel, resort as part of your name, I really wouldn't rely on Airbnb as a primary booking source, or you shouldn't. If you are, it's time to have a paradigm shift. Airbnb is another OTA. They're not very different from like Expedia or Booking.com, other than it is a highly downloaded app. So you reach a much larger audience. But like an OTA, they're going to be another channel. Therefore, they're going to take a percentage of the stay that they're booking. You can get a lot further and keep more money with your own website that's optimized. A lot of great properties are doing that that are still on Airbnb and may not be a superhost, but they're still delivering really well because they're getting found organically through website searches like places to stay near Zion National Park or things to do in Miami or where do I stay in Martha's Vineyard, wherever you're at, right? Those Google searches are always happening. And if someone is searching for you and you're just organically there, then you don't have to pay that OTA commission. And then if you're on a smart PMS, you're not going to pay a commission on the booking either, just a cost per room per month. Now, if you have like one or two investment properties and you only rent through Airbnb, completely disregard that. Airbnb is a great place for you to be. It's a great place to just receive some passive income. But if you want that super host badge, then these are the things that you need to do. And one of them, there's four. One of them is just a checkbox. It's going to happen if you have the property and you're doing the things right. The other three of them are completely on you. These are ones that you have to actually try and do, or a property manager has to try and do. Okay, so the first of four things that you have to do to become an Airbnb superhost is you have to host at least 100 nights. Now, that is not like 100 nights in a rolling 60-day period or something. You just have to have done 100. There's no time limit, so this is the one that you're just going to do. If you have the property and you put it on Airbnb and it's in a desirable location and your property's decent, that's just what's going to happen. You're going to get 100 nights. So that one's not terribly difficult. Number two, you have to have at least a 4.8 star rating. So this one is on you. Is your property nice? Does it smell good? Is it getting cleaned adequately? Do you have amenities in there? Do you have a coffee maker? Do you have Apple TV? Is there Netflix hooked up? What's the communication like, right? You have to be on top of this type of stuff. And usually a good property manager is going to accomplish this for you. But you have to have at least a 4.8 star or greater to earn that superhost badge. The third thing you have to do is have less than a 1% cancellation rate. This one's a little bit trickier, but there are ways to do this. The biggest way to do that is by giving someone reason to complete their booking. So really high quality images. If you do have a website, videos are going to be awesome on the platform. I can't remember if you can or can't put those on Airbnb, but any videos that you have, especially like aerial, lifestyle, videos like that, those will go a long way. If you have really good media, pictures and videos, and even a website or a social media channel, people are going to be a lot more inclined to not cancel. The fourth thing, and this one is entirely on you, and this is probably the hardest one, only because it happens so much, is you have to have a 98% response rate. So when someone sends you a message, you need to respond, and you need to respond fast. A lot of this can be automated, although Airbnb is kind of fighting against that right now. This is a good reason to have a property manager, is that they usually have someone whose job it is to respond to guest inquiries. 98% response rate is also going to help with that lower cancellation rate, and it's going to help with that 4.8 star review or greater. So if you're responding within a 98% a 98% response rate, which means you're not leaving people on read or ghosting them, and responding to all messages, even if someone just says like, thanks after asking a question, and you say, thank you, have a great day, just to end it, that is still a response rate. You need to have the last say of the guest interaction. So don't just leave it unread, make sure that someone is responding. That can be a headache if you do have a hotel or like a 100 key property. That can be a lot of messages all at once. Someone's gonna have to answer them either way, but if you have a website that answers questions and is delivering information so that someone doesn't have to answer, it's going to alleviate that and make that 98% response rate way higher. Those are the only four things that you have to do to become an Airbnb superhost. It's not terribly difficult. The only cumbersome and laborious part and time-consuming part is just completing that 100-day stay. If you're watching this, odds are you probably have. Now you just need to change the way that you're operating the Airbnb and the property internally. That's it for today. Those are the updates. That's our tips. Be sure to like and subscribe to this. Share it with a friend or family member who has an investment property or a property that they're managing right now. A special thank you to Sean Cannell for reminding us to just press record. We will see you at Grow With Video Live 2023.